My name is Steve Elzinga. This is Effective Communication Class. And the question I want to ask with this lecture is, why is it worth studying? Why is communication worth studying? The Bible starts out Genesis chapter 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God starts creating. He starts moving things around. But how does He do it? And God said. He used words. He communicated to creation to make it happen. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. John chapter 1, this is the New Testament, starts out the same way. In the beginning was the Word, not the creation. In the beginning was the Word. That's what we use to communicate. We use words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. What? The Word was God? What's this about? Verse 14 of the same chapter. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is described as the Word. God is going to save the world. And He does it through His Son, Jesus. But in the Bible, Jesus is called the Word. God is communicating His love to us through His Son. It's about communication. Genesis 1, back to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Communication is about connection. Then God said, "Let us..." God said, again, He's speaking. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons into one. How is that possible? We don't understand it. How can three be one? And yet, mysteriously, they're so close, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they're one. And now this mysterious, communal God creates a human being. But in order to reflect who He is, He creates the human being into two parts. Male and female. Genesis 2:24, a man leaves his father and his mother and he is united to his wife and they become one flesh. They're two people, husband and wife. And yet, they're considered one flesh. How is that possible? It's a mystery. The mystery of marriage. The mystery of husband and wife reflecting the mystery of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, God is about connection. He's about connection within Himself. And when He creates a human being, He creates the human being in that same way. There's a mysterious connection between husband and wife. Romans 12, 4 through 5. Now we're talking about the church. And what is the church? Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it. It takes every one of us to make it complete, for each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. In the church, we often call one another brothers and sisters. Well, we're not. We're not necessarily brothers and sisters, but that's what we call each other, because mysteriously in Christ we are all one. See, it's all about connection. God is about connection within Himself. God is about connection when He creates something in His image. The church is one body. It's all about connecting and belonging to each other. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. This is the end of the story. I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The one group. See, it's all about this oneness. It's about being together. It's about connection. See, that's what communication is all about. Well, but there's more than just communication. There's miscommunication. There's communication that goes wrong. Genesis 3, 1 through 8. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, okay, this is the serpent talking, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Of course, God didn't say that. Satan is the father of lies. He's lying to the woman. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not touch it or the one in the middle or you will die." And then what does the serpent say? He lies. "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He did say, "You must not eat from the tree of the garden that is in the middle of the garden." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Okay? So, it's a miscommunication. The devil comes. He miscommunicates to Adam and Eve. They fall for this miscommunication. And then what happens? They realize they were naked. So what do? They do two things. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. So when sin came into the world, when they disobeyed God, they listened to the lie, the communication lie of the devil. They reacted in two ways. Number one, they hid from each other. There was now brokenness, miscommunication between husband and wife. And we've seen that miscommunication and that brokenness ever since. Husbands and wives, parents and their children, community leaders, political leaders, countries going at war with one another. We look in our world, it's filled with all this brokenness and pain because of the broken communication in relationships. And the second thing they did is they hid from God. Now there's miscommunication with God. People are running from God. People are ignoring God. People are misinterpreting God. All the different religions out there, people are making up their own gods. People want to control their God, so they make one up. Communication, hiding. We hide behind the untruth. We hide behind the lies of the devil. We hide behind whatever someone says that fits what we want to do or what we don't want to do. We hide behind masks. We project that maybe we're more important than we are. We project strength when there's weakness inside. We hide behind our success. We drive in certain cars. We wear certain clothes. We want to project something to the people around us. We don't want them to see the brokenness and the hurt inside. We hide behind blame. It's not my fault. My lack of success is not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the culture that I grew up in. It was a teacher that didn't believe in me. I played on a sports team and the coach didn't recognize my talents. I didn't have the opportunity that other people have had. I just talked to a father last night who still blames his father for his lack of success because his father died when he was like 20 years old. And so he feels like he missed out on something and he didn't become all he could be because of that. It's someone else's fault. We hide behind ourself. We hide behind our own isolation. We don't want to deal with things, so we hide. Communication brokenness. We do it by blaming people. We communicate with gossip. We're feeling insecure. We're feeling like we're not a part of the in-group. So when we're with some people, we end up talking negatively about someone who's not there. And what are we doing? We're putting someone else down so that we can feel better about who we are. Communication brokenness, one strategy is silence. Husbands and wives, they have a fight. One decides, well, I'm not going to talk to you. And for the next 2 days, they just ignore the other person. I'm going to get back at you through my silence or anger. A lot of anger in this world. As a pastor, most of the counseling that I do is anger. It's parents who are angry at their children. It's children who are angry at their parents. It's husbands who are angry at their wives, and wives angry at their husbands. And what is anger? Anger is caused by this thought. Someone is getting something I don't get. Something is unfair. Okay? I'm at a workplace and the boss promoted this guy and not me. That's not right. That's not fair. I work so hard. I deserve this more than he does. When we see an injustice, when we experience an injustice, we get angry. We get angry at our kids. We help them. We give them a house. We give them food. We give them opportunity. We're trying to give them our wisdom. And what do? They go against us. They do their own thing. That's how ungrateful can they be? So it's that unfairness. Husbands and wives. You know, I work really hard. And I'm doing 60 or 70% of the work around here. You're only doing 30. And I have a hard time getting you to do the 30. Often husbands and wives think that of each other. It's unfair. It isn't right. With friends. A bunch of friends are going to go do something and then they don't invite you. And that's unfair. That's not right. And so we get angry. That communication style of getting angry. Or we get revenge. I'll get you back. A lot of successful people are successful because they want to get revenge on all the people that didn't believe in them. My parents didn't believe in me, but I'll show them. I'll become a success and prove them wrong. Selfishness. We feel like we're not getting what we should, and everything we do is for us. How can I get more? Our first thought is, me, me, me. How do I do this? It's all part of the brokenness that has come into the world because of the miscommunication. We believe the lie of the devil. The devil says, if you take care of your own needs, then you'll be happy. And that just doesn't work, does it? But that's what we hear. That's what we think. Victim mentality. A lot of victim mentality. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. There's nothing I can do it because it's out of my hands, my circumstances. Maybe right now you have a lot of things that you could blame in your life. You didn't have some opportunities other people have had. You didn't have the growing up home that other people have had. You've had all these negative things happen in your life, and because of that, people owe you. People owe you. If you think you have it coming, I can guarantee you're not going to be happy in life. It's when you realize no one owes you anything. God gave you life. He gave you all the opportunities in front of you. Yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff around you. But God gives you the power to overcome those things too. In fact, God can use all the negative things that have happened in your life in order to have you blossom and become an extraordinary person in His kingdom. Communication. So we have communication. It's about connection. That's what, you know, God is all about. He creates us as human beings, male and female. He makes us one. The church is one body, all this oneness. But then we have miscommunication. Sin comes into the world and all this brokenness that miscommunication gives. And so we need an answer to that sin problem. Communication, God's grace. That's where God's grace comes in. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke. Again, communicate. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. So His Son actually becomes the message, the communication. Whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Again, a communication thing. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. Romans 10, 13-15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, communicate, will be saved. How then can they call, you know, communicate to God on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Okay? Communication. I have to hear it. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, communicating to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? So grace itself, God's grace, is a communication. He communicates to us through His Son, by giving us His Son, who died on the cross for our sins. So He communicates by giving His Son, but we cannot respond to it unless someone tells us that. Communicates. Preaches. Get out there and say something about what God has done for us. Communicate through the Bible, through the words that are written down on these pages. We need to hear these things. And then we can respond to that communication. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Bible is a communication. It's symbolic scratchings written on pages. And we interpret those symbols. We understand what those symbols mean. And they communicate what God, through the Holy Spirit, originally wanted us to hear. People wrote these things down. Paul wrote these letters. He was writing to churches. But the Holy Spirit was directing him as he's writing these words down. And now so many years later, we are reading these words. And the same Holy Spirit that enabled Paul to write them down is now helping us as we're reading these words. And they communicate to us. And they overcome that brokenness, the lies of the devil. And we can get back to the oneness, the original oneness that God had intended in His created world in the beginning.